Thank you for joining us at the City Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Jiwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
So last week I preached a message titled Good News for Mothers. It was Mother's Day. How many of you have been able to listen to that message? I got a lot of feedback from it from mothers, amen, about how encouraging it was. It was, even from, you know, some fathers, how encouraging it was. I want to encourage every woman, whether you are a mother, or you are just everybody, go and listen to that message. Because it tells you about what motherhood is about, and the rewards, and the blessing. Today I want to preach a message titled, Good News for Gospel Bearers. Good News for gospel bearers. So it's just like good news for good news bearers. Amen. Good news for gospel bearers. Oh man. Hallelujah. Maybe I should start with a story. In the year 1989, I gave my heart to Jesus. Got born again. And then in the year 1990, I received a supernatural experience from God that, you know, I should devote my life to preaching the gospel. But then I had other plans that I was more passionate about. So I ran away from that call, even though I was a Christian, until the year 1992. So for a period of about 2 years, I was struggling with it. And 1992, eventually, I surrendered myself. And I told God, I said, I will do it if that's what you want me to do with my life. Now, there were some things God began to show me from then about the blessings that come from yielding your life over to becoming a gospel bearer. I want to share some of them with you today. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, whether you are called to be a preacher like I do in terms of standing before people in different places to preach, or you're just called to preach to one or two or three, or, you know, people that you meet constantly in your places of work, or, you know, people that you meet, your friends, your family, and opportunities that God gives you. Every one of us has been called to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom and of the King. Amen. He's called us to do it. Now, many times when we hear about preaching the gospel, we hear it more like what we've got to do. But I think for me, what really got me involved and what has kept me going for 20 something, about 25 years now, so 26 years, no, 1992, yeah. Maybe 20 something years, amen. Somebody can do the math, amen. What has really gotten me going are some of these things that God, you know, shared with me over time of the blessings of becoming a gospel bearer. And I pray that after today, you will become a gospel bearer. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to start from Isaiah 52 verse 7. Good news for gospel bearer. And I'll tell you why, I said that our testimony linked up with. The Bible says, how beautiful. Everybody say, how beautiful. On the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. Those who proclaim peace. Those who bring good tidings. Who proclaim salvation. Who say to Zion, your God reigns. Go back. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet. Everybody say beautiful feet. So Isaiah was saying here that those who proclaim the gospel, who carry the gospel, who preach the gospel, they have beautiful feet. They have beautiful feet. Everybody say beautiful feet. They have beautiful feet. Now, you know that that's a very symbolic statement. It's a metaphor. The Bible uses feet to represent a whole bunch of things. If you go through the Bible, you see the Bible talking about feet. When the Bible wants to talk about dominion, it uses feet, right? It says he has placed everything under his feet. Psalm 8 verse 5 or so, or verse 6. Psalm 8 verse 6. He has placed all things under his feet. So feet represent what? Dominion. Feet represent your movement. Amen. Your movement, because that's what you use to move, you know, everywhere. That's why the Bible, when the Bible wants to talk about, you know, the steps you take and the decision you make, it says the steps of the good man. Everybody say the steps. The steps of the good man are what? They are ordered by the Lord. By the Lord. And in other places, the Bible uses feet. Say your feet will not stumble. You know, the lame feet that is out of the way, bring it back. Anytime you're trying to talk about the path and the direction that you are going in life, how you are moving, the Bible uses feet to represent it. So please note this down, that your motion in life, your direction in life, whenever you hear the word feet, it's talking about the progress you are making in life. Amen? So moving feet represent life progress. So it represents dominion. It represents what? Progress in life. The progress in life. Amen? Feet also represents your speed and your capacity to achieve. Amen? The Bible uses that, uses feet there. For example, in Psalm 18, verse 33, you know, was talking about God has made my feet like hinds' feet, like the feet of deer, and he set me on my high places. So there's something about feet and being exalted. Amen? Being able to surmount things. You know, I use, what do you call it, by the hand and all those things, some of those things that you are seeing happening to you, steps, God opening places and all that. Those are symbolic of God walking on somebody's feet. Are you listening? I experience it a lot, so I know what I'm talking about. Amen? Feet. It enables me to stand on the heights. So your feet represent your direction, your ability to make progress, to step into places. Heights. When the Bible talks about heights, you know, it's talking about, you know, achievement and, you know, laying hold on something bigger, you know, than yourself. Amen. It's talking about elevation. Amen. Elevation. So the Bible uses feet in a lot of ways, but those are the ones that I want to give you today. You can go study more and try and see, maybe just in your concordance or Google or whatever, to you Bible, anything, just type feet and see all the scriptures on feet, and you'll see that this, the summary, that feet represent, your feet represent the totality of the movement of your life. Amen. Are you guys getting that? Sometimes he uses feet to represent the whole of a man's life, that his feet are found here, meaning that's the life, the kind is the guy is what is living, because his feet, using feet there. When the Bible wants to talk about favor, but usually when he's blessing people and he wants to talk about favor, in some places the Bible uses, you know, the feet. Amen. Hallelujah. For example, in Job 29 verse 6, when Job was going through his trouble, he talked about when his steps, you know, when my path was drenched with cream. You know, you look at another translation of it. He was talking about when my steps were drenched with butter or something like that. My steps, my feet. Amen. Talking about favor. You know, my steps were birthed with cream, and the rocks poured out rivers of oil for me. Say, oh, I want to go back to those days when he was going through the trouble that he was going through. I want to go back to those days when my steps were anointed with butter. When God was blessing Israel in Deuteronomy 33 verse 24, there was a particular tribe that he blessed and said, Deuteronomy 33 and Deuteronomy 33 verse 24. It says about Asher, he said, most blessed is the sons of Asher. Let him be favored by his brothers, and let him bathe his feet in what? In oil. So he's talking about favor. Amen. So favor in Whatever you do, whether it's business, whether it's marriage, whether it's finances, whether it's your calling, you know, whenever you see the word feet, he's talking about that. So what have I said? Feet represents dominion. Amen. He said, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon is given to what? To you. When he told Abraham, he said, walk through the length and the breadth of this land. For as far as you can see, I will do what? I will give to you. He said, he has placed all things under his feet. So feet represent your dominion. What you are able to control. Amen. Feet represents elevation. It represents your movement, your motion, your progress. Amen. It represents that. So that's what the Bible uses the word feet. And it represents favor, the favor that you experience. So it's a metaphor that represents favor. So now let's go back to Isaiah. Let's go back to Isaiah, our text for today. Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, with everything I have said, can somebody give me what this verse means? Just shout it out. Like, what does it mean? How what? What does it mean to have beautiful feet? I would say favored feet, right? A favored life. What else? Yes, lives that walk in dominion, that walk in honor. What else?
Progress.
Feet that are making progress. What else? Elevation. Feet that are elevated. Do you get it? So, can you imagine as a young man, you know, coming across something like this, and God began to show that there is a blessing in becoming a gospel bearer that's going to affect the entirety of the path of your life. Everything. It's going to change everything. I'm going to take you from Papa Shafa. Amen. No laugh. It's a good place. Amen. Don't laugh at my Papa Shafa. It's beautiful. Amen. I'm going to take you from there. And I'm going to begin to orchestrate your path for life. But you got to surrender to become a gospel bearer. You got to do that. Hallelujah. And I believe God is saying the same things to some people in this place today. It doesn't mean that you have to leave your career or whatever God has called you to do. That's part of your calling. But what it means is that you have to be very conscious in what you do. Whether it's business, whether it's working somewhere, that you are there primarily to bear the gospel of peace. The gospel of Jesus. And to dedicate yourself to that purpose. You know, my wife and I, we made a dedication that there's nothing that we're going to do in our lives that does not, nothing, no matter what it brings, money or whatever, that does not have an aspect of preaching the gospel. Amen? Or bearing the good news. No matter what it is. Everything that our whole lives is going to be about bearing the good news. Hallelujah to people. Beautiful feet. Everybody say beautiful feet. Now, lest you say this is an Old Testament verse. Romans chapter 10, starting from verse 15. Paul the Apostle. Okay, you know what? Let me give you the context. You know, first of all, the Old Testament. So, this was Isaiah proclaiming to Israel was in captivity. Okay, you understand? Talking about Israel, they were in captivity. And he saw a vision. And he saw a vision of people coming to proclaim to Israel in the captivity. People just coming and saying, you know what? God has set you free. It's time to return back home. It's time to return back home. Heralds that are coming and proclaiming. It's time to return back home and all that. Do you get it? So, he was saying that, wow. Can you imagine people who have been in captivity and then somebody comes and says, you know what? I have good news for you that you are free. You know how that person is going to be received? So he says that's how beautiful their feet are on the mountain. So then in Romans chapter 10 verse 15, Paul's also speaking about preaching the gospel of Jesus. Amen. Uses the same thing. He said, first of all, let's start from verse 14. He says, how then can they call on the one that they have not heard? So meaning that they have not believed in. So people can't call on Jesus. People can't trust the kingdom. Whether it is youth, children, adults, they can't trust it if they've not heard about it. Amen? If they've not heard it. And I'll tell you, a lot of people have not heard it. So they can't trust. There's no way they can trust. How can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone doing what? preaching to them. So, in other words, for them to be able to call, they have to believe. For them to be able to believe, they have to hear. But for them to hear, somebody's got to bear it to them. Amen? But there's no way they'll be able to call and believe if nobody tells the good news. But it now says, and how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful at the feet of those what? Who bring the good news. So, Paul takes that and brings it into the New Testament. That what Isaiah was saying then is actually a New Testament thing. He's saying that this applies to the gospel of Jesus. That people can still have beautiful feet. Some say people can still have beautiful feet. So my goal is I want you all, City Light, every one of us and everyone watching and everyone listening to this to have beautiful feet. Amen. Will you love that? Feet that are beautiful. Lives that are being orchestrated by God. Steps being led by God. Being held by God. Elevation through God. Amen. And dominion through God. Like I said at the beginning. Amen. Praise God. So let's just look at some aspects of the good news for gospel bearer, some aspect of this beautiful feat according to scriptures. Number one, I'm just sharing with you some of the things that I saw and that motivates me to do what I do, to be a gospel bearer to people. Amen. Are you ready? So number one, please take this. This is God's word. If I say anything that is not in God's word, please, I say that's not God's word. This is God's word. So you've got to take it because I'm going to tell you some good stuff. Amen. Are you ready for good news? Amen. Number one, if you become a gospel bearer, through the gospel, all your needs will be met. All your needs what? Will be met. Everyone. When I came across this one, my mom is a testimony. When I came across this verse, so I was in university and I came across the verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse. And I'll tell you the story. Verse 14. So I came across this verse and it just exploded in my spirit. There was no phone then. Of course, there were phones, but I didn't have access to phones. Only some people had access to phone. You know. I didn't have access to phone. But I came back home from college. I remember, mommy, from university, I said, don't give me anything again. No food, no money. I said, don't send anything to me again. Because I discovered something in God's word that if I preach the gospel, I will receive my living from the gospel. So she said, okay, come on, tell her. It's good to have a witness, right?
And I asked him, I said, are you going to be living on the campus when I should not send food, I should not send money? Are you going to be stealing money? He said, no, I can't steal. He said, God will provide for me. He said, God will. And since then, he has been even giving me money since then. While on campus. Selling money, sending. At times, I will see the shoe and the jacket. I say, hey, Pastor Lan, where are you getting all this from? Because I'm afraid. I sent money once. He sent it back home. I sent food. He shared it among others. How are you eating? He said, every day, people will line up food. He will just open them and see the one that he liked. And he eat it and send the rest to others. God is faithful to his word.
Hallelujah. So, I mean, this is a true testimony. So I believed it. I believed it and I acted on it. And I stopped all forms of, what do you call it, from parents and all that. I cut off all those sorts and I said, don't send anything to me anymore, because if the Bible tells me that if I preach the gospel, I will receive my living. You know, those days it was KJV that we read. KJV is more powerful. It said, those who preach, those who shall live by the gospel, should live off the gospel. Should live off what? The good news. So I saw it that, you know, he was talking about physical needs there, amen. But I also saw it that it affected, in other words, even staying alive, amen. Do you get it? Just like the just shall live by faith. Staying alive, having your needs met, marriage, everything that has to do with life and godliness. Amen? Of the gospel. So I got back, of course, and I began to practice it. I knew that the only thing I needed to do to fulfill this covenant was that I must constantly preach. Do you get it? So you will understand why sometimes I have to arrange preaching arrangements. Do you get it? I make it happen. Because the covenant is that I must be constantly preaching. If I can't go anywhere, I will call somebody. Or I will get on Facebook. In other words, my part of this arrangement is that I must constantly be getting the good news. Not bad news. What? The good news of the kingdom out to people. And God will keep his part, which is to take care of my living arrangement. Amen. You know, I'll share something with you, you know, when I come back, because I'm traveling right now for 2 weeks to preach. But you know what? It's based on this scripture. Amen. Because I said, there's something I need to do now. Amen. And there's a step I need to take. And I know what he told me when I was a young, very younger man, is that whenever there's a need for something, get out. Get the gospel out. Amen. Get the gospel out. He said, he has ordained that those who preach the good news should live off the gospel. And I'm telling the same thing to you, good news, that if you will share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people around you in places where he's giving you opportunities, God will meet your needs. I'm telling you, in amazing ways. In amazing ways. I mean, my wife, there are some things that we don't buy. People just, it is what happened for you. People just give it to us. I mean, it's just some things that just follow you. Amen. Our needs have been met. You know, we've been living off the gospel of Jesus Christ for years. Amen. I will continue to live off the gospel. Did somebody get encouraged by that? Did you get it? Somebody say after me, say, if I commit myself to be a gospel bearer, God will meet all my needs. There was this man of God called Lester Sumrall. He's died. He's dead now. He died in very old age. I think he died around 90 years or something. But he was dying of tuberculosis when he was a young man. So he had a vision. And in the vision, he saw a Bible. And he saw a Bible on one side. Then he saw a coffin on the other side. So God told him, choose. He said, either you preach or what? Or you die. So he was a vision. So after he prayed, he said, God, I choose to preach. I choose the Bible. I choose to preach. And he got healed of tuberculosis. And this man began to go around the world. So people used to ask him, what's the secret of your long life? Because he was so strong, like until he died. Very, very strong. He said, that was what I saw. God said, anytime he felt sick, he just take the Bible. I got to go preach. Because that's the covenant that I had with God. Amen. That's the covenant I had with God. This man went all around the world, fed people all around the world, did so many things all around. You know, the Lester Sumrall, you know, his sons and whatever, I see preaching now. Went all around and God strengthened him in his body and all that. That's also the secret for health. Amen. You know, look up, everybody, look at me. Let's assume you have two, I don't want to use cars, but maybe cars will help me. You have two cars, right? And then you have a particular one that you really use. That's the one that is producing for you, for your business, for everything. You know, and you have one that you know, the car is not, you know, maybe just, it's not very useful for you. Which one are you going to take care of better? Which one? Because you know that if something happens to that one, your productivity is reduced. I need you guys to understand that also God also has some business concerns on the earth. The business of God is winning souls. God services those who are useful in it. There are some people that God, you know, somebody was sharing a testimony. I think it was Tommy that was sharing a testimony that his son, my brother-in-law, Yomi, was driving during the snow and then, you know, almost had an accident. And then, you know, he said, God knew that if anything happened to him, who's going to play the keyboard? So God had to what? No, this is not a joke. If you are not useful for God's kingdom, you are a foil for the devil. That's why some of you, a lot of things are happening to you that you don't understand. Because you are not useful for the kingdom. Sorry, you are not useful.
You are just living for yourself. When you are living for yourself, anything can happen. But those who give themselves to this good news, God will service their lives. Why do you want some things and all that when it's not for the gospel? You just want it to use it on yourself? But the moment you commit your life to living for the gospel, God will resource you more than you can ever imagine. Because God has business concerns on the earth. Are you listening to me? He has business concerns. Those who preach the gospel, either by sending gospel preacher or by doing it themselves, they will live off the gospel. Or praying for them. They will live what? Off the gospel. Amen. Did somebody get that? Number two, good news for gospel bearers. Number two, good news for gospel bearers. You will see signs and wonders. You will see signs and wonders. Amen. Someone say signs and wonders. Someone say signs and wonders. You see, some people, their Christian life is so boring. It's just too boring. Christian life is, I go to church, and then I go home, and I go to work, and then I read a little Bible, and all that, and then you spend the rest, you know, you're on Facebook, you're watching. There's no exciting thing about Christianity. Christianity is more exciting than that. Are you listening? You see, when you see the exciting part of Christianity, you will just lock yourself into it. It was after I committed. I told you that I ran for a long time until that 1992 when I committed. It was when I committed myself that I began to see God move with signs in my life. Are you listening? Anytime I go and take a step to preach the gospel, to do something, things follow. Even when I post something on Facebook, sometimes I just post something on Facebook and I get response from different nations. I have nations opening up just because of a post. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15. You will see signs. He says, said to them, go. Someone say, go. Use your feet. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all what? Creation. Verse 16. 16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. In other words, it's not your prerogative. It's not you that will determine. You just preach it. It's their choice whether to believe or not to believe it. Do you get it? But just go ahead and preach it. Right? Okay. But this is where I'm going. These signs will what? Accompany those who believe. So, accompany. You know what the word accompany means? There is a motion part of accompany. There's no accompany when you are sitting down. You say, you know, I was sitting down in my house and it was accompanying me. No. Accompany means what? You are going what? KJV says, these signs shall follow. KJV, shall follow. Shall what? Shall what? Will what? Follow. Everybody say follow. Can somebody follow me? Please follow me. Can, what? Follow. So the faster you move, the faster it follows. It has to keep up with you. Do you get it? It has to keep up with you. So if you are, you know, you're just doing it little by little. Yeah, some things will follow you. Let's follow me. Say, oh Lord, why? How come, you know? I've been praying about that thing, but it's just taking too long. Maybe because you are taking too long in obeying God. Thank you. That's not following me. These signs, the word signs there means supernatural indications. Supernatural indications. If you want to see the power of God move, you move. You move. you move. You want to see the power of God in your life, demonstrated all around you, you move. You make a move. Go somewhere you've not gone before. Talk to somebody who has a need and pray for that person. You start seeing signs, supernatural things happening in your life. Beautiful feet, favors, all kinds of things happening around you because you are moving. Hallelujah. Is somebody getting blessed? Good news for gospel bearers. That's the title of our message. Hallelujah. Number three. Your life will be attested with honor. Honor. You see, there are some places that I find myself in these days and things, you know, that happen as I'm preaching the gospel, as I'm, you know, the kind of people I'm dealing with, the kind of places I'm going. And sometimes I look at myself, I know that, no. On a normal day, no gospel included. You know, factor out the gospel from the equation. I ought to be slapped when I try to enter such places. Because I say, I have a very unintimidating kind of a look. My demeanor, I look very young and all that. So, but I get into places and the honor that people show, I know it can only be traced to the gospel. It was one of the promises that God gave me when he was calling me. Your life will be attested with honor. Amen. No man takes this honor to himself, but him that is called. And this honor transcends age, race, anywhere. Can you imagine some of the things happening in this city right now? The kind of things they're calling us to do, that I receive calls to do, the levels that they have. I mean, an immigrant who came here should not even be doing that. It shouldn't be happening. It's God's honor. It's like God is moving us to the very center, like the temple where when it comes to Christianity, because that's my sphere, where it is being controlled and ruled in this. God is putting us right in the center. Right? Am I right? Putting us right in the center to be part of the decision makers. And sometimes they come. I receive calls like that. Can you imagine? And this is not just happening. This has even gone beyond the cities. It's now happening internationally. Majority of my work right now, that's why I believe that this church needs a pastor. Amen. Very strong pastor. Because majority of my work right now has to do with a lot of things going on outside. It's communications and all. I'm talking with people because God says organize them or do whatever. That's what I was doing all throughout this week. All kinds of calls. I'm not sure if you know. I got a call from, a preacher in this city who is well known, nobody but me, it's like, gave me a call, said, can you come now, because the superintendent of police wants to meet with me, but I want you to come with me, because I think, you know, your church, and you have the organizational capacity to be able to handle this thing that is about to give up. But that happens to be my son's birthday, May 11. I said, no, that I can't go, because I have to be with my son for his birthday. But I'm talking about things like that. Those are the kind of things happening. Those who work, you know, we work together, you know all those things. That's what's happening. Honor. Everybody say honor. It's only the gospel. Someone say the gospel. You know, in Acts 14 verse 12, start from 11, when Paul and Barnabas got to Greece and they preached, they said, look at what they said. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Laconian language, the gods have come down to us in human form. The gods have come to us in human form. So they called Zeus, they called Barnabas, they called Zeus, and Paul, they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. So they translated them from humans to what? To God. So they had to say, mellow down, guys. Mellow down, we're not gods. In fact, they wanted to offer sacrifices to them.
We went to offer sacrifice to them. So I'm going to Nigeria right now. There's some place I'm going to be preaching that they're going to be approaching me with limos. There's a particular place I know. They're going to pick me with a limo. I'm going to sit at the back. Hello. Last time I was out, I had to take a picture. I sent it to my wife. So I wish you were here, but this is what I'm enjoying right now. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and reeds to the city gate because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out to the crowd shouting, "What men, why are you doing this? We are only men, human like you. We are bringing you what? Good news. Telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and the sea and everything." In other words, guys, the only thing that makes us different is the fact that we are good news bearers. Did you get that? That's the factor. That's the only factor. That's the only factor that is. And I tell you, my life, that is the only factor. That is the factor. So I protect. That's a factor. Bearing good news to everyone that comes to me. And the honor of it has been amazing. And it's going to get more and more amazing. That's a factor. I would say the good news factor. Say, I want to start working the good news factor. Beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. Arms open up. Please come and stay with us. Please come to this place. Please come and do this. Please come and do that. Things open up because of the good news factor. Please, who wants to join me in this kind of life? Want to join me? And I tell you, you don't have to quit your job. Amen? Just become a good news bearer. Honor. Everybody say honor. Hallelujah. Wisdom. 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 God releases uncommon wisdom to you. Uncommon wisdom to you. Uncommon wisdom to you. Uncommon wisdom. Proverbs 11 verse 30. So what I'm giving you today is wisdom. Amen. To become a soul winner. But then when you begin to practice that wisdom, you become wise. Amen. Someone say wiser. Say the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit. But someone come. So righteous man now has fruits. Do you get it? Fruits. Your real fruit in life are not the physical things that you have. You see, if you check my Facebook page, I think it was yesterday or the day before, I posted something, I put it there, I said, investing in people is investing is in a reproducing asset. Someone say reproducing asset. There is nothing that produces more. No investment produces more than investment in people. People don't know it. So they put money above people. But the wisdom is you put people above money. Because if you raise enough people, you will have too much money. Amen. Are you listening? There is no people. I was teaching them in Leading Life. I said, don't do fundraising for whatever you are doing. Do friends raising. You get it? Don't do fundraising. Fundraising is limited. That's why we don't do fundraising in church. We do what? Friends raising. Friends raising. Because when you have enough friends, you will have enough funds. Listen. You have enough funds. You have enough funds. When I took my Tuesday, the fruit of the righteous is what? It's a tree of life. A tree of life keeps generating. You get it? Life. So we went to Nigeria, and of course, you know, it's a strange country to us. I mean, not strange in that sense. It's not our home anymore in that sense. Because we don't live there. I've not lived there for like 12 years. Or so 14 years, actually. But we have fruits. Someone say we have fruit. The fruit is people. Do you get it? The fruit is what? People. People that we preach the gospel to, and their lives were changed. When they were nobodies. But now a lot of them are in high places. There were pastors that we cried with and prayed for and helped to launch their churches who have thousands of members now. I'm trying to show you something. So we go, going everywhere. You know, my wife is humbler than I am. You know, so she's more humble. If there's any, you know, if there's anything like humbler, humblest. More. She's more humble than I am. So in the sense that whenever people are doing things like that, she'll be like, you know this. I said, enjoy it. The fruit of what? The righteous is what? A tree of life. So we'll get there. They were booking hotels for us, and these are the top hotels. There was a time, one night, he just said, the entire family, we just want to book, Oriental Hotel for you, just to stay the night. So they book a huge suite for us. We're not preaching for them. It was just what? Just for you guys to relax. The entire family, just to relax. And then they ordered all the food and everything. I mean, what, should I review such a thing? Right? The fruit or what? Or the righteous is what? It's a tree of life. So that was the first one. And then the second time too, they booked another hotel. We were supposed to go do something where they booked a hotel for us. Two drivers and two cars taking us. And then we were just supposed to have like a 2 or 3 hours time before our flight, right? To come back to the U.S. You know, normally you have 2 or 3 hours and we're coming from outside of Lagos because they say no. They booked another hotel by the airport. Just for us to stay for 3 hours to relax so that we can go into the airport fresh. Amen. And then we got a call, went to the airport. Someone said, I'm going to be meeting you at the airport. No, the person didn't really show. I'm going to be meeting you at the airport just to make sure that your travel is what? Is okay. But the person did not show up. But when we got to the place, the person who was in the whatever saw us and says, mommy was with us and says, so there was fast track and what? The slow track. So the person said, no, you guys go to the fast track. That's the person that does not even know us. You guys go what? The fast track. Amen. The tree, the fruit of the righteous is what? It's a tree of life. I'm saying you what God has taught me. God has taught me that the greatest investment is an investment in people. Everybody, someone say it's a reproducing investment. It's a reproducing asset. It's a reproducing asset. They are appreciating assets. Appreciating asset is like you have a house and then it appreciates. That's a level. Amen. Do you get it? The best asset are what? Reproducing asset. That's why in those days, to be rich, all you need is some cattle. You buy one cattle, give it some food, it's multiplying. Amen? Or children. That was what wealth was. Things that reproduce. Do you get it? A lot of people are going for appreciating assets. It's great. You are going, but go for reproducing assets. You know, an asset that when you feed it, it reproduces by itself. Do you get it? A house does not reproduce by itself. A car does not reproduce by itself. Do you get it? But there are only living things. Amen. Reproduce by themselves. Just by feeding it. Your greatest asset is people. You need to learn to treat people well. Most importantly, you need to become a bearer of good news to people. Become a bearer of good news to people. He who wins, thank you. Thank you, sir. He who wins soul is what? It's why. So there's a wisdom that comes from becoming a soul winner, a good news bearer. There's a wisdom that comes. It even gets to your children. Your children begin to experience the same favor. To spirituality anymore. They're opening doors. Amen. All you just need is a phone call. There's somebody that needs to come to this place and all that. Just open the door for them. That's it. That's fruit. Someone say fruit. Let me round up. I have some more, but I have to round up. Amen. Heavenly rewards. Heavenly rewards. Beyond all the rewards that we get for becoming good news bearers now, I want you guys to know that there's a time when there is what? there's eternity where the rewards are going to be out of this world. Amen. Daniel chapter 12 verse 3. Daniel chapter 12 verse 3 says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. They will shine like the stars forever and ever. That's talking about the highest kind of exaltation and reward that's going to be an eternal reward. And it's for those who turn many to righteousness. Those who bear good news and convert people and lead people to Christ. Amen. Amen. Are you guys getting it? Are you getting it? Let me round by saying, how can you practice this? How can you become a good news bearer? So there are different ways that you can do this that we see in the Bible. And I'm not even talking about methods now, but I'm just talking about how you can move your feet. So in the Bible, we saw what I called lone. People who are, I call it expeditions of the gospel. Lone expeditions. Like one person just decide, you know what, I'm going to go somewhere. I'm going to go talk to this person. I'm going to bring good news to this person. I'm going to disciple this person. I'm going to, you know, put, what do you call it? Settle this person in the kingdom. Grow this person up. Disciple this person. I'm going to proclaim the word to this place. I'm going to proclaim peace to this place. One person decides to do it. So I said I call it the lone expedition. Just one individual. An example of that is Philip. Quickly, Philip in Acts chapter 8. Acts of the Apostles chapter 8. I think it was verse 4. Right? And Philip went to what? How about say Philip went? Nobody told him to do it. He just went. Those who have been scattered went wherever they went. And then Philip went down to a city of Samaria and preached Christ there. Preached the Christ there. And the crowds heard Philip and saw miraculous signs that he did. They all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. There was great joy in that city. So he went there, and there was great joy there. And then a man who had been controlling them got them free. So it was just somebody who went on his own initiative somewhere and proclaimed the gospel of peace. The same thing was Jonah when he went to Nineveh and proclaimed. Now the second one is team. Everybody say team expedition. Teams. When teams of people within the church just go to nations. I mean, or go, not just nations, go around to bear the good news. My example is Luke chapter 10 verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others. Ever say 72? 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. So he sent them two by two. Mark chapter 6 verse 7. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and give them authority over impure spirits. He sent them two by two. Acts chapter 13 verse 1. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were some people. And then in verse 2, as they fasted and prayed, the Holy Spirit said, and worshiped the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Verse 3. And then they fasted and prayed. They placed their hands on them and they sent them off. And the two of them, I was the two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus, and they arrived at Salamis, and they proclaimed the word, the good news, in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. So there are teams of people that go out, you know, to bear the gospel. Teams. Amen. And then I call the third one the Macedonia expedition. Everybody say Macedonia expedition. Macedonia expedition is like some people calling you to come. People calling you, maybe in a city, in a neighborhood, in a organization or whatever, say, come and help us. Come and help us. We have some issues. Come and help us. Come and help us. Acts chapter 16,
From verse 6, Paul and his companion traveled throughout the regions of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in province of Asia. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they entered into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia. And after Paul has seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God has called us there to preach the good news to them. So people call them to come and help. Amen. Some of you will receive calls and all that. And say, come and help us in this church. Come and help us in this organization. Come and help us in this city. Come on. Sometimes the call is not humans. Sometimes the call is the need that keeps calling you. Sometimes you are just talked, you know, that where is all this violence going on? Why are the youth like this? You are being talked by the Spirit. It's a call. It's a Macedonian call. And you got to respond to it. You got to respond to it. Amen. The air expedition, that's when you do it through media, through social media and all that. Social media. You know, the Bible talked about an angel that was using the air. You know, in Revelation 14:6, it said, I saw an angel flying in mid-air and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who lived on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. And he said with a loud voice, fear God, give him glory, because the hour of judgment has come, worship him who made the heavens and all that. So the angel was all through the air proclaiming the gospel. Now, you know, that's talking about an angel, but it's symbolic of something. Amen. You can proclaim the gospel through the air. Amen. You can do it through social media. And the thing about it, that you can go to different nations at the same time. The literature expedition, the use of written materials. Paul wrote letters. God told John to write letters, write things to preach the gospel. And finally, the partnership expedition. The partnership expedition. This, through your financial support, your prayers, and other means, you send people who are able to go to places that you are not able to go to. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Philippians 4, verse 15. Philippians 4, 15. It says, moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the good news, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I've received the payment and even more. I'm amply supplied. Now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice that is pleasing to God. My God will meet all your needs. You know, I told you from the beginning that God will supply your need when you become a gospel bearer. Do you get it? My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, this is the best investment anybody can get involved in. Becoming a good news bearer. Hallelujah. Did somebody get blessed? Did you receive something today? Are you making any decision? Your feet, beautiful. Amen. Develop beautiful feet. Amen. Beautiful feet.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.